It all starts with the cast. With a Daiwa reel, you can make longer casts and more of them. That's because Daiwa reels have the highest retrieve speeds in the industry, and whether it's salmon, steelhead, trout, bass, or walleye, they've got a reel for you. Daiwa ballistic spinning reels and Lexa bait casting reels have become the standard for Northwest steelhead guys because they cast further and they hold up to the repeated abuse that only North America's hardest fighting freshwater game fish can deliver. If these guys swear by them, they've got to be the best. If you're looking for a new reel, look no further than Daiwa. Daiwa reels. Feel alive.
This is the Three Rivers Marine Tech Line, presented by Daiwa. Feel alive.
Welcome back to the Outdoor Line. You can always text us up at 710-710, powered by Evermarine Outboards. Of course, the text toy has been lit up pretty good.
Lit up, you think?
Lit up.
We'll get to that later, but for now, we need to dive into this jetty fishing program out on the coast. And John, you brought in some great little jigs here. Gosh, guys have been stroking black sea bass, big black sea bass, off the jetties out at Westport and Ocean Shores. You've had quite a few customers making the drive all the way from Everett out there because fishing's so good. Let's talk about how to get rigged up for that and maybe what to look for on those jetties, because there's a certain weather pattern, too, that a guy, that a guy needs to be aware of when you go out there.
You know what's cool about jetty fishing? You don't need an expensive boat to do it. All you need is a pair of boots.
That's it.
And a lot of people, that's all that they have, and they're looking for good quality fishing in Washington State without investing, like Larry said, in a $100,000, $150,000 boat. So all you have to do is drive to Ocean Shores and fish off the jetty. And you don't need a lot of gear. That's the other cool part of it. You don't need real expensive tackle. You need some 4-inch double-tail worms, motor oil, red flake, and smoke silver flake with a 2-ounce lead head and a spinning reel, something you can cast a real long way. So you'll want some.
So like a 4000 series, maybe a Daiwa Lexa, a real good saltwater reel would be a really good reel, but any spinning reel will work.
4000 size would be perfect, loaded with 30-pound braid.
Yeah.
Braid.
You can stuff a lot of braid on a reel like that.
You
and
can
then
cast
gonna,
a mile, yep.
You're going to top shot that? You're going to put a...
Oh, yeah. Anytime you're fishing around the rocks, you've got a piece of 20-pound mono on the end of that. And you can tie those together real easy with a uni-to-uni knot. If you want to know how to tie these knots, just go to the internet and look up uni-to-uni knot. It'll darn near tie the knot for you. Now, I'll tell you a real secret about tying the two together is you put super glue on the knot. The knot will be stronger than either the braid or the monofilament, guarantee you.
No super kidding. Glue. Just drop a super glue on the knot.
It's absolutely amazing.
Does it smooth the knot, too? Because sometimes you hear it going through the guides. I think it'll give a little, that super glue will kind of mold around there and give you a little taper as it goes through the guides.
Depends on the super glue you use. Okay. If you use the gel, that will do that, but it soaks into the braid pretty good.
Sure.
But anyway, so you can have a piece of monofilament about 20 inches long, and then you can tie that to your 2-ounce lead head jig. And so it's easy as that. There's no swivels involved at all. You just tie your jig to the end of that mono, and the secret is to be able to cast. So you want your spinning reel full in line. There's no such thing as one spinning reel that casts further than the other. It's all about how full that spool is full of line. So it has to be plumb full because you have to cast. Remember those rocks go down into the ocean at an angle, and you have to cast beyond that, beyond the bottom of the jetty, and that's a long, long cast. And then you work that towards your back towards yourself and up the jetty without the jig hitting
that's
the rocks. Because you know what happens if it hits the rocks?
Yeah. You're done.
You're done.
Say goodbye.
Well, and when they build these jetties, what happens? They start hooking rocks out there, and they've got to build a base up. And there's rocks that extend out on both sides of the jetty, probably 50 to 100 feet on the bottom. And there's lings and sea bass and all sorts of stuff that lays down on those rocks. Cabazon, a lot of great bottom fish. So if you can reach out over top of those rocks, get that thing to settle down. And then, John, we were talking about yesterday, just reeling that thing in right over top of those rocks. And basically these twin tail outlaw baits that you have in here, they're like a swim jig, basically. And you're just swimming that thing across the top of those rocks. Those fish come out there and they attack them. And that's kind of your approach when you're out there fishing off the end of the jetty.
Yeah,
right?
You want to be twitching the tip of that rod a little bit, give it a little jerk so it comes up a little bit and then falls and comes up a little bit and falls. And one thing about if you've ever fished jigs out in the ocean, the fish, it's not like fish in the lakes where the fish hit while you're retrieving the lure. The fish always hit on the fall, and you never feel them. And that's the difference between the guy that catches his 10 fish rockfish and the guy that catches one. You watch the belly in the line, because when the belly just scoots out a little bit, you reel down and strike. Reel down and strike. You don't just strike, because all you're doing is pulling the belly out. So you strike real hard. And when you get these fish on, you tight drag and you reel real hard because you know where
keep
the fish want to go.
Keep them out of the rocks, especially the lakes, boy. Yeah. They dive into those rocks.
Hey, so. we didn't look it up, but I think I'm not sure, but Ling's mm-hmm. might have opened in the ocean today.
Today. It
did.
It opens today out in Westport. So anybody fishing off those jetties out there, if you get a big Ling, you can retain that Ling. And you know, we're talking about these outlaw baits, these twin tails you have in here. Boy, the Berkeley baits are great. They've got some great swim baits. And guys can even use a big herring, a whole herring. Some of the guys are fishing bait off of there. Most of the guys are going artificial, though. Then you don't have to deal with packing bait all the way out to the end of the jetty.
Yeah, because you're flinging it really hard.
And you're flinging it a long ways. Now, one of the things we talked about, you got to be careful on these jetties. You just can't bring the kids, bring the whole family out there, because, boy, if you get a good swell and a nasty weather pattern out there, the waves are crashing right across
the end
of those jetties.
You're going to get wet.
So, yeah, you've got to watch the weather real close, because the swells go over the top mm-hmm. of the rocks. It can be a real dangerous place, so you have to pick the days you go out there, because one or two things are going to happen. Either you're going to go for a swim or you're going to get real wet.
And bring a backpack, bring some foul weather gear, bring some good boots. Have you ever been out on the jetty?
Oh, yeah.
It's an ankle-twisting kind of a program. Bring some
high boots,
maybe even some hunting boots, some danners or something, and strap them up good and tight. But, gosh, I know guys that go out there in the summertime, and they get their bottom fish, and then they bust out the buzz bombs, and they'll get silvers and kings and all kinds of stuff off the jetty. So
yeah, it's a real untapped resource. I have some guys who come in the store that all they do is they go down there to fish for lengths, and they have some pretty cool stories of fishing out there. The guys who fish off the jetty, they're real interesting folks, and their whole life is fishing from shore, and I bet you they have a totally different perspective than from us guys who fished out of boats most of our life. And that's what they do, and they're really good at it, and they know where the opportunities are. So, you know, it's something you can get really good at.
And with all the clam seasons, I mean, we've got another dig coming up the end of March.
Yeah, I've been going on all the
digs.
Oh,
has that been awesome?
Oh, yeah,
it's been great.
I've just been going to Ocean Shores and driving up the beach half a mile.
It's easy. And you go out there, if you're staying the weekend or staying the night, you can do that. Wake up the next morning, maybe go down to the jetty, get a limit of sea bass, or at least have an opportunity to get some of that stuff. And have a great weekend out there. So
yeah, you know, if you're clam digging, and if you have a 9 to 10 foot rod, you can do some surf fishing right there off the beach just get some clam meat out of one of your broken clams mm-hmm. and fish off the beach for sea perch.
So my uncle Pete over there, he's a surf perch
old
fishing,
uncle Pete.
Fishing machine. Everybody's got an uncle Pete, right? He salts up his little, you know, you take the guts out of your clams and you clean them up. He salts them and cures them. He's kind of like England with his Potsky deal.
He wants to toughen them up a little bit.
He's got all these cures and stuff, and he slays the surf perch out there. And what he does, he finds those areas in the surf where the water's washing back out, and there's basically no surf there. And kind of a little slick in there, and that's where he hooks his stuff in there, and he strokes those things out big time. He hammers them.
You know, it's another fishery that's untapped in this state, and it's one of these fisheries that's historically probably as good as it's ever been.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty good to do. It's another thing where you have to have waders, you have to dress for it, mm-hmm. and the surf has to be down or else you get real wet.
You can get wet, and I was surprised. You don't need to wade all the way out to the top of your waders and get way out there. He's like, no, just flick it right out in this little spot in here, and boy, he gets a lot of nice fish. The other thing that we've used out there are those Berkeley Gulp Alive, the actual shrimp that come in the container full of that.
I've used those in the Gulf, yeah.
Oh, man. Hmm. And we've got some huge surf perch on those deals out there, too.
It's another thing where you don't need a lot of expensive tackle.
No.
You know, if you're using clam necks, all you need is 3-ounce sinkers and a worm hook.
Yeah, just get one of the
pyramid, get easier than that.
Pyramid sinker. You can run a couple of hooks above it off your main line, and you're good to go. Pretty easy.
So, John, you mentioned a 4,000 series reel and some braided line. Let's back up to the jetty. So if a guy's coming into your shop, wants to get geared up, he's going to head down and do that. What kind of rods are you looking for? Line weight, length, that type of thing?
Well, something just slightly heavier than a steelhead rod, something mm-hmm. that's 9 foot long, something that's going to cast a long ways. And like you said, a 4,000 size reel, and fill it with braid.
Yep.
And make sure the braid is put on the reel correctly. If you don't put it on tight, as soon as you get snagged up, you're going to be cutting all that braid off your reel. So
well, and there's a difference between taking a spool off and running it on with a line winder and cranking it on. Do you find with braid you get that stuff laid on the spool better with a line winding machine than you do with just cranking it on?
You know, braid doesn't go on very nicely if you just try to crank it on, because it's just the way it lays on the
sure.
reel, and you usually can't get it tight enough. I mean, you can do it, and a lot of people do, but if you put it on a line machine, it gets packed from the bottom to the top. One of the very most important things you have to do when you put braid, this is a good tip for the halibut fishermen too. You have to put a wrap of masking tape around the bottom of the spool.
I was just going to ask you about
because
that.
Because if you don't do that,
it'll spin on you.
Yeah, the line. Mm-hmm. You can't believe how many people bring in brand spanking new reels in my store, and they want me to fix it because the drag doesn't work. And and you say, well, the line's spinning around, the hub is, well, well, no, it's not. Yeah, it is.
You can use electrical tape. You can use duct tape. Mm-hmm. Like on my Lexa 100s, the width of electrical tape is just the exact width of the spool. And you just put one wrap on there, and that's all it takes to bind that stuff down. And then on my halibut reels, I'll take duct tape, and that's just about the same width as a spool. Make one wrap on there, and then that beds your line, keeps it from slipping on your spool. So.
Yeah, it sounds something like, you know, gosh, maybe I can skip this step, but you know,
no, you really shouldn't. And the reason you don't have to necessarily do this with a revolving spool reel is because of the arbor on the spool. You can get a wrap of that line around the arbor, which will keep it from spinning. But on a spinner reel where there is no arbor coming out of that base of that spool, you've got to secure it to a spinner reel.
And then you tie on that piece of 20-pound mono on the end of that. You know, that's getting to be pretty popular, putting that top shot on. You know, I did that on my salmon reels. I was a mono guy all the time.
I just made the switch this year.
Yep. And I put on 30 foot. You know what's cool about it is you know exactly how much line to put out each time you get to the knot. That's where you clip it onto the downrigger release.
Right.
So it has a couple different purposes. And so I'm doing that on most of my lines now. And it's a pretty cool thing to do, but on the bottom fishing thing off the jetty, you're just going to put on a little 20-inch piece there.
Right, sure. And the reason you do that is if you do snag, you don't want to have to pop that braid. You're going to pop that little tiny top shot of mono.
Exactly.
And that then you're going to get the balance of your gear back. So a bunch of good tips there, John.
And one of the tricks, too, is to keep that piece short is you don't have to cast that knot out through your guides.
Exactly.
Keep it short. Keep it out of your guides so when you're casting, you don't have to deal with that knot clunking through your guides all the time. So.
Yeah, because that will really reduce the amount that
you can
cast.
It really can.
And you have to, if you're fishing off the jetty, casting a long ways is really key to catching these fish.
And, you know, this jetty fishing can be very inviting for families. You may want to take your kids out there in the summertime and stuff. You know, parents, please be smart. We talked about, you know, foul weather gear, raincoats, pants, boots, backpack, all that. How about a PFD? That surf comes crashing up there. The weather changes, things like that, especially for kids. You know, put them in a PFD. And for adults, don't think that you're above it. You know, wear a PFD if you need to. I'm not advocating one of them big orange things that
Ansley wears like wear.
On his boat. Yeah.
That's what I like to wear.
That's what Robin wears out there on the river. But, you know, be smart and be safe. That makes for a much better day.
Yeah, Mustang has all kinds of float coats and stuff.
Yeah, they got some great ones. Yeah. Flip it on your belt. They got the horseshoe style now. Yeah, pretty easy deal. So.
All right, that's your Tech Line presented by Three Rivers Marine and Dye.